Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 6th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely and talented Melissa Hansen.
Hello, everyone.
So what has your entertainment week looked like?
Well, it's been kind of a busy, rough week.
Yeah.
So I've been eating a lot of, like, baked potatoes and comfort food.
Okay.
And I've been watching comfort TV with it.
Ah.
I have been blasting through the Rockford Files.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that old James Gardner 70s, you know, detective TV show.
Yeah.
On Hulu, the first three seasons at least are. So I barely remember it. I know, like, my mom watched it when I was a kid, and I know I watched some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember any specifics about it. So I kind of went back and just started watching, because I had recently watched The Great Escape. And I was like, damn, I love James Gardner.
Yeah.
I forgot how much I love him. And so I started watching this. Yeah, it's typical 70s, you know, drama, detective thing. It's James Gardner plays a PI, you know, in L.A. And every week somebody brings him a case. And it's him solving the case, and there's always a pretty woman involved.
Yeah.
And then him, like, kind of conning people, like, doing, like, fake identities and that kind of stuff. It's really fun. I mean, there's some good action, too. And then to just see all the guest stars.
Oh, sure.
A little bit of who's who of 70s, you know, TV. And then the Bionic Woman has a recurring role in a couple episodes.
Nice. Not as the Bionic Woman.
Not as the Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
Just Lindsay Wagner's
right.
In it. She plays okay, you can tell it's California. She plays a bikini shop owner.
Oh, jeez.
Who ends up hiring him.
Nice.
But yeah, he's just amazing in it. James Gardner. He's just, like, so much charisma.
Yeah.
And, I guess after, like, I think six seasons or so, he chose to end it.
Okay.
Because he's like, I can't do this. He's in every single scene. They're driving all over California. He's doing all these kind of stunts. It was just one of those. It was just too much. He had enough.
Yeah.
But the ratings were good the whole time it was on. Yeah, it's totally fun to watch. And it's crazy. Every episode is, like, pretty much exactly the same. But the best thing is the show starts with kind of, like, stills from the show.
Yeah.
Of him smiling and then him next to a pretty girl and then him, you know, like, in his car watching somebody. But then it ends up showing, like, his desk.
Mm-hmm.
And his phone rings, and each week is somebody leaves him a message.
Oh.
It's a different message every week, and some of them are kind of funny and kind of cute that they did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun to watch. There's nothing, you know, really high quality about it except for James Gardner, but it's fun. It's
no. But that's one of the advantages to streaming media and having this wonderful archive of television history to go back and explore.
Yeah, like I said, I know I watched some of it, but I was a kid. And just to go back and actually be able to watch it.
It's not like you would have gone out to the store and bought the DVD sets to watch it.
No, absolutely not.
But since you have access to it.
Yeah, it wasn't like my favorite show, so...
Right.
And it'll be really interesting because Vince Vaughn's doing the big screen reboot.
Right, exactly.
Coming up. So it'll be interesting, having watched it, then when that finally comes out, to kind of go see it and see how they differ. And,
right.
You know, they just kind of took the name, or if they kind of keep the same bit of playfulness in it.
Well, and it was funny because 2 or 3 years ago, Dermot Mulroney shot a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Reboot the series, and NBC did not pick it up, and it didn't
go
anywhere. So.
Yes, I wonder how they did it, if they did it serious, or...
Don't know.
That would be interesting. That'd be an interesting pilot to see how it compares.
Yeah. Well, I always thought that would be a great thing to do, is to have a network that did nothing but showed failed TV pilots.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, was it IFC or something showed some at one point?
Oh, really?
A handful of them. But again, that's with streaming and with computer,
right.
The internet, you can find stuff. It's out there.
Right.
Some pilots are out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff that didn't get picked up. So.
Well, all I've been doing this week is working in the evenings and having the Olympics on in the background. So, you know, for 4 hours every night, just, you know, keeping one eye on the computer and the other eye on the television. And there's been some really great stuff. I mean, I've been really impressed with... There always seems to be these great human interest stories that kind of pop up out of nowhere. The drama for the men's gymnastics team, the drama of the women's gymnastics team, watching some great beach volleyball matches. It's just, I can't get enough of this. I'm such a junkie, and I always have been.
It's getting to know the heroes that kind of come out of it.
Yeah. You know, the Michael Phelps thing, where he started off kind of lazy and lost his first couple races, and then finishes really, really strong, you know, as one of the greatest Olympians of all time.
Right.
So, no, I love this stuff. And I love Mary Carrillo on NBC when she does her little human interest stories where she travels around Great Britain and does those kind of, so.
And of course the big story thing coming out is Gabby Douglas.
Oh yeah.
Gymnastics.
Oh yeah. And what an incredibly charismatic little kid she is.
Yeah. She's 16, which always amazes me to see all those gymnasts and how professional they can be. And I was just reading, actually my friend Rodney was posting on Facebook.
Yeah.
That Serena Williams, I guess.
Yes.
When she won and stuff, she was like ridiculous, like totally unprofessional.
Yeah, she was dancing around and stuff like that. Yeah.
But then I guess like the American flag kind of came unclipped.
It did. It fell down in the wind.
She was like pointing and laughing at it, and she was just like completely unprofessional kind of thing. So like she can't be, but this 16-year-old,
right?
Have poise and charm.
Well, and then, too, that's been the argument for the long time about professional athletes coming back and competing in an amateur-type event.
Yeah, that's always driven me slightly crazy. I mean, sometimes it's fun to watch. And being American, like, watching basketball and watching things like that.
Yeah.
Like, yay, good, we got the pros out there.
Right.
But, yeah, I've always had a problem with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does show that there are kids who have more class than a lot of adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but we've reached the halfway point. We've got, you know, the rest of this coming week. Now that we're into track and field, there's going to be some really great stuff too. So I'll be sad when it's over, but I'm enjoying every minute of it while it's on.
Good.
So what's been going on at the box office this past week?
Well, shocker, The Dark Knight Rises is still in first place.
Yeah.
About 36.5 million this past week. So we're up to 355 million domestic.
Okay.
For that, Total Recall, 26 million, not bad, and it's not getting very good reviews.
No. It should never have been rebooted in the first place.
I agree, but anyhow, so it's decent.
Yeah,
showing there, and then Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, which is I don't know how many.
I think this is the third or fourth, but I'm surprised we didn't mention this last week. It didn't show up on my radar when we were talking about what was coming. So
I
apologize for not covering it.
Oh, wow. Well, it made not quite 15 million.
Okay.
And then Ice Age Continental Drift is still in there with 8.5 million.
Yeah.
And The Watch, a little over 6 million. Yeah. It's just over 25 million total.
I hate to say it, but Ben Stiller is going the way of Adam Sandler. They're just making terrible, terrible movies.
You're right. It's kind of sad.
Yep.
It's kind of sad. And I wonder if that's all they're getting offered.
I don't know. And Ted is still hanging in there, and it just crossed the $200 million mark this past week.
That's crazy.
So,
really, people? This?
Empire of Seth MacFarlane continues.
Yep.
This coming week, we have a Wednesday opening.
Yes.
For Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones in Hope Springs.
Tommy Lee Jones in this looks so interesting.
I know. It's very atypical for him. Although, if you go back earlier in his career, he did more of these types of roles.
Yeah.
Before he became kind of the big dramatic in-demand actor. But this looks very sweet, you know? And you've got Steve Carell.
And the two of them playing off each other.
Yeah.
Looks just, very sweet. I like that. Seems like a good word for it.
Another big, one of the last big action picks of the summer, which is The Bourne Legacy.
Jeremy Renner.
Yep. Picking up for Matt Damon, not as his character, but the franchise is kind of veering off into now these genetically engineered agents.
Right. Yeah, it's The Bourne Legacy.
Right.
So it's,
But you've got the regulars back from the previous movies, David Strathairn, Joan Allen, Scott Glenn, Stacey Keach, and then you're adding Rachel Weisz and Ed Norton to that mix.
Yep.
Nice.
That's going to be interesting to see, especially Ed Norton, how he kind of fits in there.
Yeah. And then we've got another big Will Ferrell comedy called The Campaign.
Yes.
Where he and Zach Galifianakis kind of compete for a North Carolina.
Here's a question.
What's that?
When are we getting to the point where it's a Zach Galifianakis movie, not a Will Ferrell movie?
That's a good
point.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is Will's star going to fall enough and Zach has risen enough?
That's true.
I don't know. Just wondering.
makes a very interesting point. But I can guarantee you this is going to be more entertaining than the next 4 months of Obama and Romney.
Yes.
This is going to be I mean, we're getting all those stupid ads running during the Olympics, and I'm already tired of the two of them.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm just tired of people I know and disagree with on Facebook.
Yeah, well, and that's always going to be...
Oh, it's going to be tough to make it through that.
Yeah, just grit your teeth and smile and pay no attention.
And one more that's opening up this week is called 2 Days in New York.
What's that?
Kind of a family drama or comedy. Okay. I don't know which way it's really going with it. Okay, yeah, but it's this couple and their kids and whatever, and then their family... And it's, with a couple, ready?
Yeah.
Chris Rock and Julie Delpy.
What?
Is that not odd?
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the whole family shows up, extended family shows up, and how it affects them and stuff. But just, this isn't getting much notice.
Yeah,
but
I didn't pick it
up. Chris Rock and Julie Delpy. I want to see just to see how they play off each other. That is interesting casting.
Huh. Well, and I don't know if you've heard, but... Ethan Hawke has mentioned that he and Julie Delpy are shooting another in the Before Sunrise series.
It's kind of crazy that they can go back so much later, but it's just so... I still want to know what happened to these characters.
Right.
I still want to know what happened to them.
Yeah.
I just connected with them so much in the first one.
Yeah, the second movie wasn't as enjoyable for me as the first, but that first movie was
just
magic.
Yeah, I agree. Because the first is so different. So to redo it kind of loses some shine. But. Yeah. I don't know, but this should be interesting too because Julie actually directed and wrote this.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So she's the one I'm sure that had in hand in choosing Chris Rock. So,
okay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of chemistry they have.
Well, coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we're going to continue with our top five countdown of the best, most interesting DVDs and Blu-rays heading your way. At number five, we have probably one of the most interesting, that word interesting is showing up everywhere these days, one of these most compelling new series from this past fall, which was Grimm.
Yes, I'm a big fan of this. I started with that and Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
And I have lots of friends that love Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, okay, but I am a huge fan of Grimm.
Well, which is not surprising, because it's David Greenwald who co-created this, which we know from Angel.
Right, right. And actually, Sean Hayes from Will and Grace produces this.
This is true.
Along with, Hot in Cleveland. He's kind of all over the place, but that's great, you know?
And it's coming back very early this fall.
It is right after the Olympics. It'll be back.
Yep. So I don't know if that's going to mean a shortened season, that they're only going to go through mid-season and replace it with something else, like maybe Smash or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it's going to air and how they're going to do it and with reruns and new episodes and stuff. I'll keep an eye out for that and update people.
All right. But that's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week. In the number four spot, we have the 1971 Holly Pratt animated version of Cat in the Hat, which stars the voice of Alan Sherman and Paul Frees.
Yes.
Far better.
Paul grew up on.
Yeah. Far better than the Dr. Seuss adaptation of The Lorax, which is also available this week.
Yeah.
In the number three spot, we have Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket coming to Blu-ray.
Ooh.
Which stars Vincent D'Onofrio, which is probably his breakout role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matthew Modine, and the very first real presence of Arlie Emery, who now is everywhere as the drill sergeant.
Yes.
He has his own reality show on History Channel or something, and he pretty much shows up as any military guy in every other movie you can think of. In the number two spot, we've got Clue on Blu-ray, which is one of my favorite.
Yeah, talk about a fun
80s movies. Tim Curry, Madeline Kahn, Michael McKean, Christopher Lloyd.
It's a crazy cast. I mean, full of amazing comedians.
Right. And though we make fun of the fact that board games should never be made into movies, this is just one that I never tire of watching.
Right. Right, yeah. This is, I think, an exception that proves the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the number one. Can you guess what my number one must-see Blu-ray of the week is? Adventures in Babysitting.
I was hoping that's what it was.
Which also stars a 1987 Vincent D'Onofrio.
It does.
I shouldn't say stars.
Thor doesn't star. He's in it.
Yeah.
As fake Thor.
Yes.
But the big thing about this, okay, how old do you want to feel right now? Because it is the 25th anniversary edition. Oh,
God.
25 years.
The sad thing is there's nothing anniversary or special about it. It's basically just a dump of the movie remastered, albeit onto Blu-ray. No special features. Nothing with the menus.
No, and that stinks because you know that some of them would have gotten together.
Yes.
Maybe probably not Elizabeth Shue. But Keith Coogan so would have done, and I bet Anthony Rapp so would have done, commentary or something for this.
You and I were blessed to have seen this at Quentin Tarantino's theater in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
On a double bill with Toy Soldiers, and Keith Coogan did a commentary / Q&A in between the films.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. He totally would have recorded it. Because, he loves doing that kind of stuff and talking about his movies and his career and just is, you know, self-deprecating and funny and great with it. So they really, really passed up an opportunity to at least have him do something.
Well, and this was the directorial debut of Chris Columbus, who's gone on to do a lot of great family stuff. You know, Home Alone, the Harry Potter franchise, he's been a producer on that, directed the first two movies. I think Disney really did screw up by not giving this more time and attention. But, you know, it's a movie that a lot of people love of our generation, and it still holds up extremely well.
Yeah, it does. I think it's one you could show your kids today, and they'll still, you know, they'll maybe make fun of the hair and clothes a little, but they'll still totally appreciate it.
There are a surprising number of profanities in here.
There are. That is true. But favorite line from it that I say quite often... But, from the train scene.
Right, exactly. But I guess I didn't remember, and watching it again, I'm like, oh, wow, they do swear a lot in here.
Yeah, they do. It's like a PG-13 one. And there is, and you know what, there's not sex, but there's a little sexuality in it.
Yes.
It's not for younger kids.
No.
But, PG-13, that 13-ish.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll appreciate it for sure.
All right. Opportunistic release of the week is Olympic related.
Yes.
William and Catherine, A Royal Romance, which didn't make it into the entire rash of William and Kate releases that happened right after they got married.
Right.
But held out. This is a Hallmark or a Lifetime movie. Victor Garber is in this, and Jean Smart.
That is crazy.
So it's just another one of those, you know, made-for-TV romance biopic things.
I'm sure it's nothing to do with actual life.
Yeah. All right. In terms of streaming media this week, over at Netflix, we've still got some carryover from the beginning of the month, which had a ton of stuff. Warrior, which is Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton as brothers battling for an MMA championship, and the love and respect of their father as played by the weird and wacky Nick Nolte.
Of course. The crap out of people to get your daddy to love you.
Which he got nominated.
Good life lesson.
There was a lot of critical acclaim for his performance in this film.
Okay.
High Noon, which is one of the finest westerns ever made, starring Gary Cooper, Lloyd Bridges, and Grace Kelly. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Oh.
Elizabeth Taylor, Paul Newman, Burl Ives.
It doesn't get better than that, man.
No, I mean, this is Tennessee Williams done right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Albert
Nobbs, speaking of critical acclaim, Glenn Close's Oscar-nominated performance in this gender-bending period love story, which also stars Mia, I can never pronounce her last name, from Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. And, Capote, which is Philip Seymour Hoffman's critically acclaimed performance as author/personality, Truman Capote. And it's interesting because how much longer...
Wait, is that the Catherine Keener Harper Lee or the Sandra Bullock Harper Lee?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because that was one of those things. You know how there's always two movies about this thing coming out?
Yes.
And that's the Catherine Keener one.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
That's okay. But the timing on this, how much longer before we see a Gore Vidal movie?
Yeah, that's true.
Because he just passed away this past week.
That's true. Somebody get on that quick.
Yep. Over at Hulu, we've got John Leguizamo's breakout performance, 1993 star-making one-man show, Spikorama.
Yes. He really, if you have not watched his, yeah, stage one-man shows.
Yeah.
Insane what the boy does.
Oh.
Which is voices and characters, and he's all over the place. The amount of energy he has.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. But yeah, just so brilliantly done.
Yeah, there were a couple years before this, he started out with Mambo Mouth. Mm-hmm. And then he wound up, he did this and then filmed both of them for HBO. So this is the HBO special you will see on there. We've got an interesting 19, interesting, I've got, I'm, all right, I'm banning that use of that word for the rest of the show.
Because it's got you don't say interesting and I won't say
There you go.
Okay, start the clock.
We've got Marilyn in Manhattan, which is a 1998 TV documentary chronicling the final years of Marilyn Monroe's tragic life, because we are now celebrating, what, the 50th anniversary of her death?
Mm-hmm.
And then Criterion continues, but this week it's all Vivian Leigh-focused. So we have, yeah, William K. Howard's 1937 regal potboiler Fire Over England, starring Flora Robinson as Queen Elizabeth I, and Vivian Leigh as one of her ladies-in-waiting, and Sir Laurence Olivier as the man who is smitten with her. In the second movie, Olivier and Leigh reteam in 1940 for 21 Days Together, which is a morality tale about adultery, blackmail, mistaken identity, and murder. And then you've got Julien Duvivier's 1948 adaptation of Tolstoy's novel Anna Karenina, starring Vivian and Ralph Richardson. All right, I'll hand it over to you for television.
Okay, so TV this week, there's a new show premiering Wednesday on TLC. It's called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. What?
Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. It's about one of the little brats and toddlers and tiaras. They gave her and her family their own show. Okay, can I just say this right now? If anybody out there who's listening is actually a friend of mine and you watch this, just don't even tell me. I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Oh,
anyhow, so that's your thing. Just, yeah. Wednesday, TLC. And then there's a bunch of finales this week. Friday, USA Common Law season finale. Sunday, AMC Hell on Wheels season finale. And A&E The Glades season finale. And then obviously NBC has Olympics all week still. Coming up.
Right.
And in music this week. Okay, ready for this?
Ready.
He goes now, that's what I call music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like compilations of all the hits. Number 43.
Holy crap.
Now 43. Whoever came up with this idea
now has
43 times a fortune.
That's insane.
Now, all you need to know about this one is Call Me Maybe is on it. So, David Archuleta, who is an American Idol contestant.
Right.
Runner-up recently. Begin is his new album that's coming out this week.
Okay.
And then Blast in the Past, Sixpence None the Richer.
Oh, my God.
Has a new album. They totally broke up. They were not recording for years. They got back together a few years ago, but it took them years to get an album together, to get the right songs, to get the right producers. Anyhow, Lost in Transition by Sixpence None the Richer this week. And then we talked about The Bourne Legacy. The soundtrack to that movie is out, and that's James Newton Howard. Books this week. Okay, it's been 24 hours since I said his name, I believe.
Seriously, James Patterson.
James has a new book.
Ugh.
This is just him. It's part of his Maxima Ride series, which is young adult novels.
Okay.
It's called Nevermore, and it's supposed to be the last one. Now we'll see if money brings him back to write more. But anyhow, it's supposed to be the last one in that series. So if you have a youngster that's a fan, I'm sure you want to pick that up for them. A Bloody Storm, a Derek Storm short, written by, in quotes, Richard Castle.
Ah.
Now, they've released a few novels under this. From the TV show Castle, the main character, played by Nathan Fillion, is a author. And so they had someone ghostwrite a few novels that actually they released. This is a short book, and it's only in ebook form.
Oh.
But, you know, fans of Castle, you might want to check that out this week. And then, really interesting, Bob Spitz, who has written other biographies.
Yes.
He wrote Deary, The Remarkable Life of Julia Child.
Oh.
Because the 100th anniversary of her birthday is coming up.
Holy cow.
She would have been 100 years old this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So if you are a fan of hers, you might want to check that out and get some more information. And fans of Orlando Bloom.
Oh, boy.
Want to keep their eye in New York. Now, this isn't completely confirmed, and we don't have exact dates, but it looks like he may be heading to Broadway.
Really?
In Romeo and Juliet.
Shut up.
Nope, that's what's being reported.
Huh.
Romeo and Juliet hasn't been on Broadway since 1986.
Ooh.
When it was in a Shakespeare rep.
Okay.
So I will let you know if stuff gets confirmed and we have exact dates on that.
Interesting.
But that, yes, could be very interesting. What's our good news?
Well, we already mentioned the passing of Gore Vidal this past week from complications of pneumonia. He was 86.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't a compelling author, but, man, his presence in everything, you know, from writing magazine articles to being a commentator on news programs to just kind of being a conscience for this country. An amazing man. A really, truly amazing, intelligent, well-spoken, highly controversial man.
Yeah, I was going to say, some people would disagree with you on what you're saying.
Yeah. but if you don't, you know, there will be a lot of stuff coming
up. But he was a great American, and he was definitely an icon in our culture.
Yes. Remember how we mentioned that LaToya Jackson had her this unique ability to rise above all the infantile behavior of her siblings in the attempt to grab control of her brother's estate and the kids and all that kind of stuff?
Are we totally wrong on that?
No, we're not, but there was a reason.
Of course there was. Please.
LaToya has been giving her own reality show on Oprah's failing network. So she doesn't want to do anything to screw that up because that's not starting until next year. So she's kind of playing everything close to the vest. But maybe once that TV show hits, all bets are off.
Wait, what you're saying is LaToya just made a smart decision? Holy crap! Wow.
She is the best Jackson.
Oh, that's like saying the best piece of garbage in the sewer.
Jeez.
Come on. Well, with the way they've all been behaving, I'm sorry.
I know. And Janet has come out to say that she was not in her right mind and that her brother Randy, who she's extremely close to, was the one that influenced her to get involved, and she never should have done it in the first place because her instincts told her not to, but she did it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of strange family things, Tippi Hedren has waited 50 years to accuse director Alfred Hitchcock of sexually harassing her.
I saw this. There's a new movie coming out.
Made for HBO. Sienna
Miller playing her.
Yes.
And it's about her and Hitchcock.
Right. It's called The Girl.
Yeah, and that he was all crazy about her.
Yeah. But this was revealed during the Television Critics Association upfronts, where they kind of wheel out all of the new fall stuff for all the press in L.A. And she said, if this happened to a woman today, or if this happened today, I would be a very rich woman. I'm like, wow.
You know what? She's not known for her subtlety. She's never really been.
No, and I guess there is an actress who's playing young Melanie Griffith in this. So Melanie had something to say, too, and I don't remember what it was, but obviously it wasn't very important.
I'm sure it was fairly incoherent.
Yes.
So,
a drunken stupor kind of thing. Yeah. Speaking of Hitchcock, Vertigo was recently anointed as the greatest film of all time by a new poll from the British Film Institute Sight and Sound magazine, which culls the top 10 lists from 846 film critics and 358 directors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not just a couple editors sitting in a back room being like, yeah, let's call this one.
No, they do this once every 10 years. And for the past 50 years, Orson Welles' Citizen Kane has been the number one spot. Which now drops to number 2. Yasujiro Ozu's 1953 Tokyo Story is number 3. Jean Renoir's 1939 Rule of the Game is number 4. And F.W. Murnau's 1927 silent film Sunrise, A Song for Two Humans is number 5. And I will bet you most people have seen very few of those films.
Oh, yeah.
HBO has greenlit a Larry David movie, written and starring himself, but has nothing to do with Curb Your Enthusiasm or Seinfeld.
Okay.
So
that'd be fun to see something different from him.
Yeah. I did enjoy the Woody Allen film that he did with Evan Rachel Wood not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Larry doesn't often spend too much time in front of the camera, you know, other than his own show. So,
right.
It could be a lot of fun.
Okay.
NBC is going into business with the producers of Downton Abbey on a primetime Dracula series.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is going to be the classic Dracula.
All right.
Not twinkling, sparkling vampires, not brooding, emo vampires. Okay. Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Fun of my angel. Okay. Anyhow.
Jonathan Rhys Meyers from The Tudors is going to play the legendary bloodsucker.
Ooh, I like that casting.
As an American.
Okay.
Or pretending to be an American in Victorian London. So it is all a period piece.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
This is going to completely fail. And I'm going to be upset because it actually sounds interesting.
But the basis of this, it says his mission is using modern science to get revenge on his human tormentors, but is sidetracked by the arrival of a woman he believes to be the reincarnation of his long-dead wife.
Could this get a little more confusing? So he's American, but he's in British, and it's period, and then but he's using science, but then there's the dead wife. But okay.
So he's pretending to be American.
He doesn't just, like, suck blood and turn into a bat? Come on.
But wasn't that part of Dark Shadows? Wasn't that the reincarnation of the wife kind of thing?
I don't remember that part, but yeah. I mean, but that's always been, part of the backstory and stuff. But still. Whew, okay.
I don't know. And we talked about Vince Vaughn earlier, but somebody needs to put a stop to him now because he's developing a Brady Bunch series for CBS.
You know.
Not a reboot. Not a reboot of the original. This show focuses on divorced dad Bobby Brady, who has recently remarried to a woman who has kids of her own, and the two of them have a kid together.
Okay, so it's mine, yours, mine, and ours.
Right.
Not quite like the Brady Bunch, because that was just yours and mine.
Right.
But it's Bobby's family.
Bobby's family. And there's been no talk of casting, or if Bobby's parents or siblings are going to be involved.
Kind of interesting.
But you can only
imagine.
They
did the Grown Up, remember? They did the series.
Brady Brides, right?
And they do a couple like TV movies too with them, like Grown Up and stuff.
Yeah, and then they did the Christmas special and a very Brady Christmas.
Okay.
But there's been no talk of the original cast members reprising their roles, so I would assume that it would just be everybody cast from.
Right. And I wonder how much the other characters will be in it if it's just Bobby's the only one, really.
Right, because, I mean, Robert Reed is long since gone, so you could actually recast his parents.
Right. Okay, we'll just see how that all works out.
Exactly, but it's being co-produced by Lloyd Schwartz, who is the son of series creator Sherwood Schwartz.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And Vince's good friend, Peter Billingsley.
Yes.
Who has been his producing partner for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in entertainment news.
Well, if you follow the Kardashians on Twitter,
oh boy,
you saw a lot. And if you don't, you want to, you can go there or go to usmagazine.com. Mm. Because I guess Khloe was out to dinner with Nicole Richie, who's like good friend from forever, because they're all are in Hollywood. they were out with Chris. And I guess Chris got drunk and was showing off her cleavage. And they were just tweeting pictures of this. And it was crazy and insane. So I don't know. If you want to burn your retinas out, you can, like, go look at Khloe's tweets last week.
Well, now, there is some other Khloe news in that she is being considered as a judge on X Factor or American Idol. One of the two. One of those two shows.
I doubt American Idol.
So maybe it's X Factor.
I don't know. She's got a smart mouth on her.
Yeah.
You know? Which kind of works in those situations.
I guess. And Nick Jonas is the other one who's being considered for American Idol.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how that all plays out. Whenever, you know, they have to cast people on that, there's like a million people considered. Yeah. And half of them aren't actually considered.
Right.
You know, so we'll see how that all plays out.
But that's all we need is just more Kardashians in our face on a weekly basis.
Well, make my job easier if I need it. So, whatever.
That's true.
All right. And really quick, one of the DVDs that's coming out this week we didn't mention is The Rookies, which is an Aaron Spelling series from the 70s. And it was like three young policemen. And then Kate Jackson was in it, too,
because
God forbid she be a police officer. So she's one of their wives and she's a nurse.
Yep.
But anyhow, that's coming out this week, and that's going to be our contest on DVD Verdict this week. So you can go on over, click on contest, you know, just fill out some quick information, and it could be yours.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate it. As always, you can check us out at DVDverdict.com or subscribe to the show over at iTunes, which will also get you all the other fantastic podcasts that we do on DVD Verdict Presents. And until next time, Melissa Ann, take it away.
It would feel so good to say goodbye. When I'm with you, I want to die. And all that time was such a waste. I never wanna see your face.